in A.D. 61. Over 1,900 years ago, the Apostle Paul sat down and wrote a letter. He wrote this letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God to a group of believers who lived in a city called Ephesus. What you see on the screen before you are a few lines from that very letter that Paul wrote from the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. And I want you to read these lines out loud with me this morning as we begin. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul is writing this letter to these group of believers in a city called Ephesus, and he instructs them to be careful. It means to pay close attention to. To be careful that you walk not as unwise people, but as wise people. Now, to help you understand the context of what he's saying here in the book of Ephesians, I want to share a few things with you about this city known as Ephesus. I think it'll help us relate to what Paul is writing here in Ephesians chapter 5. The city of Ephesus in its day was a major metropolitan area. It was a port city on the Mediterranean Sea with over 600,000 people who lived in it. And because it was a port city, it was always full of travelers from all over the known world. The boats and ships would come in, the cargo would come, and they would port there in Ephesus. And there were 600,000 people who lived there. But on any given day, there were thousands and thousands of travelers that were passing through the city of Ephesus. In addition to that, the city of Ephesus was a hub for commercial trade. Because it was a port city, it was a very affluent city, a lot of wealth in the city of Ephesus. Another thing historians tell us about the city of Ephesus is that everything in Ephesus was permissible. They allowed anything. You could even say, what happened in Ephesus stayed in Ephesus. But that's really the reputation of the city. It was a large metropolitan city, always full of visitors because it was a port city. It had a lot of wealth, and it had a very permissive attitude. It was so permissive that one of the things that made Ephesus famous was all of the pagan temples and religions that were centered in Ephesus. And one of the hallmarks of the pagan religions was their gross immorality of every form and fashion. So Ephesus was a city known for its gross immorality and its permissive nature. It was a city that was a large metropolitan area that was always full of travelers, and it was a city that was full of a lot of wealth. That sounds just a little bit familiar. Well, I want you to listen to what Charles Stanley. Charles Stanley is a great preacher in the United States of America. A lot of you have been impacted by his ministry. Listen to what he says. As you can imagine, it was difficult for the believers in Ephesus to maintain high moral standards. Their hostile environment made it that much more important for them to be asking the question, what is the wise thing to do? We live in Las Vegas, Nevada. I think every one of us would readily admit, as a follower of Jesus Christ, living in this city presents a unique set of challenges to the moral character, the values of our lives that we desire to establish based on the truth of God's Word. This is much like the city of Ephesus in that it is a hostile environment in many ways to the values of what the Scripture teaches. So it is imperative It's imperative. Just as it was imperative for the Ephesians, that's why Paul said, listen, I'm writing you, be very careful, pay very close attention to your behavior so that you seek God to make wise choices. I want you to hear 2,000 years this side of that letter, the passion of the Apostle Paul as he now looks at us today through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God and says to believers in Las Vegas, be careful. Be careful that you walk not as unwise, but as wise. So at Hope, this weekend, we're launching together into a 4-month study through the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is really a book of everlasting wisdom for everyday life. The book of Proverbs is a book that speaks to us from the wisdom of the character of God. So every weekend we're going to be looking from the book of Proverbs. Now it's going to be a little bit different when I say we're studying through the book of Proverbs. Normally at Hope, when I say we're going to study through the book of the Bible, what that means is we're going to start chapter 1, verse 1, and next week do verse 2, and next week do verse 3. And sometimes that takes us a few weeks, sometimes it takes us a few months, sometimes it takes us a few years to get through an entire book of the Bible. But our study of the book of Proverbs is going to be a little bit different. And I'll talk more about that in a little bit later. But it's going to be different. We're going to be looking through the book of Proverbs, not verse by verse, but pulling out different sections of Proverbs that apply to our everyday life. But we are going to begin this morning by way of introduction in chapter 1, verse 1. So if you have your Bible, I want you to open it to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 1. Now, some of you may be here this morning and may be going, where in my Bible is the book of Proverbs? If that's you, that's okay. It's one of those books that not a lot of people look at a lot. But if you'll just let your Bible kind of fall open, it'll probably land somewhere near the book of Psalms. Well, if you're in Psalms, just take a hard turn to the right. When you get to the end of the book of Psalms, you will be at the door of Proverbs, because Proverbs is right after the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom. Right out of the gate, he introduces himself and then he says, here's why I'm writing the book. To know wisdom and instruction. To discern the sayings of understanding. To receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. Now verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. This morning I want to ask and answer two questions. Here's the first one. Why Proverbs? Why are we doing this? Why are we launching together for 4 months to study the book of Proverbs? Well, I want to summarize for you in one statement the value of the book of Proverbs for you and I today. Here's the statement. Look at it on the screen. Proverbs provides wisdom for every area of life at every stage of life. I want you to read that out loud with me this morning. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Proverbs provides wisdom for every area of life at every stage of life. Now this morning I want to unpack that statement for us together. First of all, Proverbs provides wisdom. Proverbs is a book that provides wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, the words wise and wisdom are used over 125 times in the 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs. Those two simple words, wise or wisdom, used over 125 times in 31 different chapters. Why? Because Proverbs was written to help us acquire and apply God's wisdom to the decisions and activities of daily life. Let me give you a definition of the word wisdom. We're going to talk about wisdom a lot over the next 4 months. We're going to talk about wisdom a lot this morning. What is wisdom? Well, here's a definition of what I believe the biblical concept of wisdom is. It is the ability to see life from God's perspective. The ability to see life from God's perspective. Have you ever been in situations or circumstances in your life and thought, man, I wish I knew what was the right thing to do here. I wish I knew what the right thing to say was. I wish I knew what God would want me to do in this particular situation. You ever had those questions? Did you know that the book of Proverbs is filled with practical wisdom for everyday life that will help you in a bunch of different situations in life see exactly what God's perspective is on that situation? That's what the book of Proverbs does. Listen to the way Warren Wiersbe writes about it. He says, wise men and women have the competence to grasp the meaning of a situation and understand what to do and how to do it in the right way at the right time. That's wisdom. To be able to grasp and understand a situation and know what to do and how to do it in the right way and at the right time. It's that ability to see life through God's perspective. And the writer of Proverbs opens the book by saying, I'm writing this book so that you may know wisdom. Now, the word know there is important. It's a word that's used over 800 times in the Hebrew Old Testament. And it's a word that most commonly is used to refer to knowing something or someone relationally or experientially. So when the writer of Proverbs says, I'm writing so that you may know wisdom, don't miss what he's saying. He's not saying I'm writing so that you can somehow go through an intellectual exercise that will fill your head with facts about life. No. What he's saying is I'm writing so that through the book of Proverbs you may passionately pursue God and the wisdom that is found in His character. As we relationally through Proverbs is not a book we just sit down and read for intellectual pursuit. No. As I study the book of Proverbs, I'm seeking the very heart of God that I may know His wisdom and how it applies to every detail of my life. And ultimately, wisdom is exhibiting the character of God through my life in the practical day in and day out situations that I find myself. Isn't that what we all desire? For God to make Himself known through our lives? This whole thing of Christianity is being conformed to the image of Christ, and then Christ pressing His life out through us. That's the Christ life. The whole principle of John 15, that He abides in us. Well, as we pursue wisdom, we're pursuing the very character and heart of God. And God begins to change us on the inside and manifest His wisdom, His character through our lives in the day in and day out situations that we all face and come into contact with. Proverbs provides wisdom. Let me give you the second part of the statement. Proverbs provides wisdom for every area of life. Every area of life. I enjoy eating. It's not necessarily a good thing, but it just is. I'm one of those type of people. I work out so I can eat. It's a maintenance plan is really what I have. One of my favorite places to eat. It's a place that they don't have here in Las Vegas. It's a place called the Cracker Barrel. Amen. How many of you have been to a Cracker Barrel before? Yes. I can tell by the sound in your voice. I knew there's some Spirit-filled people in the room this morning. The Cracker Barrel is one of my favorite places to eat, and we don't have one in Las Vegas. If you know anybody that works at Cracker Barrel, could you please put in a good word that we may get one? Because the closest one to Las Vegas is 90 miles from here in Kingman, Arizona. You know how I know that? My family drives at least twice every year 90 miles just to eat at the Cracker Barrel. The toughest thing about going to the Cracker Barrel is when you get there, they give you the menu. But they don't just give you one menu at the Cracker Barrel. You get the breakfast menu, and then they hand you the lunch menu because you can order off of either one all day long. And so every time I go to the Cracker Barrel, I sit there with those two menus in my hand and almost have a complete nervous breakdown over trying to decide what am I going to order, because I want some of all of it. So what I almost always wind up doing is ordering something called the Sunrise Sampler. Because the Sunrise Sampler has a little bit of everything on it. You can get a little bit of everything on the Sunrise Sampler and get some taste of a lot of different things. Well, this morning, what I want to do for you is I want to serve you a sampler platter, all right? We're not going to go deep into any one of these different areas of life this morning, but I want to just whet your appetite for where we're going over the next 4 months. And I hope this morning that the Holy Spirit of God just opens your mind to the reality that Proverbs is full of practical wisdom for everyday life. This is not wisdom that we need to talk about in a seminary classroom somewhere. This is wisdom that will help me when I get up in the morning to go to work, deal with the issues that I'm going to face in my life. So let's just dive in. First of all, Proverbs speaks wisdom for my home. Throughout the book of Proverbs, as you read it, you'll find wisdom for the home. Things for marriage and how husbands and wives relate to each other. Things about finances, how husbands and wives are to manage the resources that God's entrusted them. All that's in the book of Proverbs. Another thing about the home that's in the book of Proverbs is the subject of parenting. The book of Proverbs speaks to the issue of parenting many, many times. Let me give you an example. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 18. Look at it on the screen. It says, "Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death." Now, let me tell you what that means. Here's what that means. That means, as a parent, there is a philosophy out there that says, my job is not to be a parent. My job's to be a buddy. My job's to try to be their friend. My job's to try to make them like me and like life and like all the things that are going on around them and to make sure that they're always happy. Well, here's what Proverbs says. The wisdom of Proverbs says if that's your desire, you don't love your children. Because Proverbs says discipline, parameters, boundaries, instruction, training, restoration, sometimes confrontation, all of those things are a part of the job. And when we don't do that, we actually desire the destruction of our children. Because God's wired them as kids to long for parents to establish parameters and boundaries for their life that provide them a safe platform to make wise decisions. How do we know that? It's what Proverbs says. Listen to the way Eugene Patterson paraphrases this in his book called The Message. It says, "Discipline your children while you still have the chance. Indulging them destroys them." That's wisdom from the book of Proverbs. I don't know about you, but that's pretty practical stuff. That helps. Let me give you the other side of the coin. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. Says a righteous man who walks in his integrity. The word integrity literally means without blame, blameless. A righteous man who walks in his integrity. How blessed are his sons after him. You know what that means? There is no greater inheritance you can pass on to your children than to walk in integrity so they can follow in your footsteps and know the right thing to do in the right time, in the right way. Where do we learn that? From the book of Proverbs. This speaks right to the heart of a parenting philosophy that says, don't do what I do, do what I say. Listen, that's unwise. Proverbs says if you want to really touch your children, don't give them the don't do what I do what I say. But you pass on to them a life of integrity where they can look at your footsteps and know I can just follow along in what mom and dad have done and I can honor God and live wisely by doing that. Proverbs speaks wisdom to the home. Secondly, Proverbs speaks wisdom for my job, for my workplace, my occupation. First of all, Proverbs speaks to the employee. Maybe you're someone here today and you're an employee. You work for someone else. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a boss that was difficult? I'm making sure none of our staff at Hope are saying amen this morning. I'm watching and listening very carefully. But we've all been in situations where we've had a boss that was difficult. What do we do in those situations? How do we handle that? Do we get mad and lay awake at night and live frustrated over this situation? What do we do? Well, let me tell you what Proverbs says. Look at Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. Listen to this verse. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever He wishes. Here's the biblical principle. Here's how God sees that situation. When we are in a position under someone's authority, we don't have to rest in that person's security. We can trust God because God's in control. Listen, when you go home this afternoon, go into your restroom and flip the faucet on and let the water begin to run. When the water begins to run, I want you to take your hand under that water, and I want you to look at how easy it is for you with your hand to shoot that water to the left. Shoot it to the right. Shoot it on your spouse or kids if they're standing right there with you. Shoot it on the mirror if you want to. All the moms in the room love that when we shoot the water up on the mirror. Boys and girls, just go home and have a blast. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. I don't want mom blaming me. But when you get in the room and you start doing that, you'll find out that, man, you can turn that water however you want to. Listen, the Bible says people that are in authority over us, their heart is like water in the hand of God. God can turn it wherever He wishes. That gives me God's perspective on my life situation. I'm not in a situation that's helpless and hopeless. I'm in a situation where I can trust God every day. And that's not just at work. Let me tell you a situation we're in right now at Hope. At Hope, we're growing. Last night, we used every chair we had in the building. This morning, the 8:30 was full. This service is full. We've had a full house and four services. So we're trying to expand and buy land around us. And when you try to do that in Las Vegas, there's 1,000 board meetings and committee meetings and commissioner meetings that you have to go through. And you need to work with the neighbors, and we're trying to do that because some of the neighbors are not as excited about our expansion as some of us inside of this room are. And here's one option. We could go home tonight and we could lay in bed and we could stay awake all night worried about how we're going to fix this situation and work it all out. Or we can recognize that the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He can turn it wherever He wishes. We can trust God to take care of the situations in our life. How do we know that? Wisdom from the book of Proverbs. But not only for the employee, Proverbs speaks to the employer. Some of you are in management or you're the boss. You ever had an employee that was difficult to deal with? Yeah, now the tables are turned. Does Proverbs speak to that? Yes, it does. One of my favorite Proverbs. And I didn't think we'd get to it at any other time, so I wanted to mention it this morning. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4. Listen what it says. Where no oxen are, the manger is clean. I'm going to have to give all you city folks a moment to catch up with what that means. Let me tell you what that means. When there are no cows in the barn, you don't need a shovel. Some of you are still looking at me like, what shovel? Cow? What is... They make a mess and you got to clean it up. Look what it goes on to say. But much revenue comes by the strength of the ox. If there's no cows in the barn, there's no mess. But there's also no work being done. And sometimes as managers, we tend to see just the negative. And sometimes that becomes so distracting that we lose the reality of the positive, what God may be doing through that employee that's in our workplace, that's under our care, and how they're being used to accomplish great result. Now, sometimes you reach decisions where you have to make decisions about employees, but the biblical principle of wisdom says, look at both sides. That's right out of the book of Proverbs. Listen, that's something you can use tomorrow morning at work. That's practical. Wisdom for my home, wisdom for my job. Thirdly, wisdom for my walk with God. Let me give you a verse out of Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. It says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. The word sharpen is a word that literally means to improve something so that it becomes more efficient or useful. It's the picture of the the people in that particular time, when they would take the iron tools and weapons and they would rub them together to make them more useful, sharper, more efficient for the task. And the biblical wisdom for us is that God has given us relationships with other believers so that we can invite accountability into our lives that sharpens us and makes us more useful for the task, which is bringing glory and honor to God with our lives. There's wisdom in accountability. That's what Proverbs 27:17 is all about, sharpening each other. The writer of Proverbs is saying it's unwise to put yourself in a position where you're not in accountability with other believers. Listen, in my own life, I have invited people into my life who on a weekly basis ask me some really hard questions. And I give them the privilege to then ask me, are you lying to me at all? I have people that I've invited into my life that have access to everything that I look at on a computer. Why do I do that? Because I know under God I'm capable of anything under heaven. But God's given us the wisdom to know we're not to live on an island. We're to bring people into our lives to help hold us accountable so that we can be sharper and more efficient for the task of bringing glory to God with our lives. That's what Proverbs teaches us. Let me give you the other side of the coin. Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 1. Listen to what it says. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. When I begin to pull away from relationships of accountability that help me walk closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that I'm seeking my own desire. And then look what it says. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. You know what the opposite of wisdom is? Foolishness. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs says, man, if you're a Jesus follower and you're seeking to walk with God and you're separating yourself from relationships of fellowship that help hold you accountable, you are living foolishly. You're not being careful to walk wise. My home, my job, my walk with God, my relationships with others. Proverbs gives me wisdom as how to relate with other people. Look at this verse out of Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9. He who conceals a transgression seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. After 35 years of being in and around church, I am convinced that gossip is one of the most damaging things that exists inside of the body of Christ. Do you hear what the Bible says here? He who conceals a transgression seeks love. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that when I have a brother or sister in Christ that is in sin, or if I'm in sin, they need to come to me and help me get right. That's not what it's talking about here. If it was talking about that, that would be in contradiction to what the rest of Scripture teaches. But here's what the Bible's saying. When I've made that right, when I've repented before God, man, it's not my job then to take that and go talk that all over everywhere else. That separates intimate friends. That's what the Bible says here. That's wisdom about how we have relationships with other people. Now, as Christians, we have our own version of gossip. Here's what we say. Let me tell you something so you can pray about it. And we spend 30 minutes giving all the details of the situation and 30 seconds praying about it. Tell you, that's not of God. Listen, it's not wise. Here's what that means. It doesn't represent the character of God in that situation. It's not just gossip. It's a misrepresentation of the character of God in that situation. Well, there's just a sampling. Proverbs provides wisdom for every area of life. Let me give you the third part of the statement. At every stage of life. Proverbs provides wisdom for every area of life at every stage of life. In verses 4 and 5, the writer begins to tell us who he's writing this to. And he begins by saying, I'm writing to give prudence to the naive. The word naive means someone who is young by experience. Maybe a new Christian or a new believer. Somebody's been saved less than a couple of years. It's still growing in this thing called walking with God. Then he says, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. The word youth there is a word that means young by age. He's writing here to tell us that I've written the book of Proverbs for those who are young, either by experience or by age. And as you read the book of Proverbs, you need to understand that Proverbs was written, this will help you as you read it, from the perspective of a father speaking to his son. So as you read some of it and it's written like a father to a son, you say, why is it only addressing the son? Why does it only address this situation? Well, it's because it's written from a perspective of father to a son. Now, it's wisdom that applies across the board, but that's the context. Except for chapter 31, chapter 31 of Proverbs is written from the perspective of a mom to her son about what to look for in a godly wife. And so as you read the book of Proverbs, it is a book specifically written for the young in one case. Now, for that reason at Hope, I want you to know that this morning as we're studying the book of Proverbs together as a church family, in every one of our preschool classes this morning, they're studying the book of Proverbs. In our Hope for Kids class this morning, up through fifth grade, they're studying the book of Proverbs. In our student ministry worship service, it's going to be right here in this building tonight at 7 o'clock. Be over 150 students here. They're studying the book of Proverbs. Why? Because we believe the book of Proverbs is written to lay a foundation in the heart of the young, to provide for them the opportunity to make wise decisions that will affect their ability to bring glory and honor to God. The Bible says when we apply this to the young, we gain prudence, discretion, knowledge. Prudence, discretion, and knowledge. I want you to look at those three words on the screen, and I want to give you a definition of what those three words really mean. These three words are used synonymously here, and they refer to the ability to use good judgment to carefully consider consequences and act accordingly. Man, isn't it our job for the new believer or for the young person? Isn't it our job to dispense into their lives wisdom? Wisdom from the Word of God that helps them be able to have good judgment, to carefully consider consequences and make decisions based upon the information that they have? That's why we're studying the book of Proverbs. But the book of Proverbs is not just for the young. He also says for the wise. Look at verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. You see, Proverbs is not just a book for beginners. Proverbs is a book for every stage of life. Sure, it has a place in the life of that young person. Dad, it has a place in the life of your children. I can't think of a greater thing you can do as a dad than to spend time learning wisdom from the book of Proverbs and then dispensing that wisdom into the heart of your children to lay for them a foundation that will help them make right decisions that lead to a godly and blessed life. But the book of Proverbs is for all of us. It says, man, when a wise man, that wise person is someone who's a little further down the line in this journey called Christianity. He said, when a wise person approaches the book of Proverbs, guess what happens? Man, they just increase in learning. That has two aspects to it. It means that I'm growing in my own personal wisdom as I read the book of Proverbs. But that word learning also implies that I'm growing in wisdom that I can then turn around and dispense into the lives of others. Then the Bible says that a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. That phrase, wise counsel, refers to God's counsel and advice. Here's what that means. As we pursue the book of Proverbs, God will give us specific direction for everyday life decisions through the book of Proverbs. You ever wanted to know, man, what's the right thing for me to do here? God desires to speak to us through the book of Proverbs. Over 20 years ago, somebody invested into my life and taught me that there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Now, in most months, there's roughly 30 days in a month. They taught me, every day, read the proverb in the morning that corresponds to the day of the month. So today's September the 9th. This morning, I read Proverbs chapter 9 as a part of my devotional time with the Lord. Can I give you a testimony this morning? I can't tell you how many hundreds of times over the last 20 plus years, hundreds of times I've faced a situation in my day, And God had already given me wisdom that morning from the book of Proverbs that applied specifically to exactly what I was about to face. I wonder. I know He doesn't, but I wonder sometimes if when we're in that situation and we go, Lord, what do I do? I just wonder if He'd go, would you read the book? It's right there. Every area of life. Every stage of life. Well, I want to close with this question. Where do I begin? Where do I begin? Well, He tells us in verse 7 that it begins with an attitude. He said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's one of those Bible phrases that causes a lot of people trepidation. The fear of the Lord. What does that mean? Am I supposed to be afraid of God? Is that what the fear of the Lord means? No. The word fear there is a word that means to have respect or to have awe for something or someone. The best way I know how to illustrate it is with this story. When I was a kid growing up, my dad was a big man. Now, my dad was a big man in stature. He was 6'4 and weighed over 300 pounds. He's a big man. But my dad was also a big man in reputation. In the town I grew up in, we only had 12,000 people who lived in our city, and I think every one of them knew who my dad was. My dad was a man that was respected in our community. People looked up to him. They sought his counsel and his advice. My dad was a man that was a big man. Well, for that reason, as a kid growing up, a lot of the decisions that I made in my life, I made out of respect for my dad. You could say out of fear of my dad. But listen, not a fear that if I did something wrong, my dad was going to hurt me. But a fear that if I did something wrong, I might hurt my dad. And I didn't want to do that. Because I respected him. That's the fear of the Lord. You could define it this way. The fear of the Lord is that affectionate reverence by which a child bends himself humbly and carefully to his father's desire. I don't fear the Lord because I'm afraid that He's going to bring wrath and judgment into my life. That He's going to somehow hurt me. I live with a fear of the Lord because I don't want to hurt Him. Our Father's reputation is big. And wisdom says, I live my life in such a way that I respect the glory of my Father. And seek to live my life in a way that does nothing but honor who He is. Warren Wiersbe wrote it this way. He said, if we truly fear the Lord, we acknowledge from our hearts that He's the Creator. We're the creature. He's the Father. We're the children. He's the Master. We're the servant. It means to respect God for who He is, to listen carefully to what He says, and obey His word. As we approach this journey together in the book of Proverbs, the starting place is right here. Do I fear the Lord? Do I have such a big view of who God is that I humble myself before Him seeking His wisdom? But the second aspect of where we begin is, I want to call you to action today. Today I'm inviting you to join in on a journey. For the next 4 months, there are three aspects to this journey. First of all, it's a personal journey. I'm asking every member, regular attender at Hope, for the next 4 months, to every day, read the proverb that corresponds to the day of the month. Tomorrow's September 10th. You get up tomorrow and you begin your devotional time by reading Proverbs chapter 10. And then journal. You say, journal? That sounds like homework. Let me ask you a question. When somebody says something important, what do? You write it down. You know what journaling is? It's seeking wisdom from God and His Word. And when God speaks something important to your heart, you just write it down. That's it. We have prepared something called the Proverbs Life Journal. If you choose, you can get one of these at the resource tables. They're $10 a piece. If you're here and you want one of these and finances are an issue for you, just take it. We want you to have it. But this will help you, give you practical guidelines as to how to begin to journal. And you can keep this with your Bible for the next 4 months. And just every day, it's got the date and the proverb. You just journal according to what God speaks into your heart. And it gives you some instruction. It gives you some memory verse tips, how you can begin to memorize Scripture. We're asking every person for the next 4 months, daily read and journal. Secondly, it's a family journey. It's a family journey. We're asking you to weekly gather your family to discuss wise behavior. Say, what does that look like? It can look like a lot of different things. Now, we've given you some resources. If you go to our website, hopebaptistchurch.com, on the opening page is an icon that says Proverbs Online. You click that. If you go to that page, there are resources. There are even things like downloadable coloring pages for the small children so they can participate in the family time. There are memory verses that you can use and print off for your family to have a memory verse every week where your whole family is memorizing together. It gives you tips on when you can do this family time and how you go about it. I think one of the most valuable things that would happen out of this is this time when families get together to just simply discuss wise behavior. You say, what do I say? What God says to you and you've written down. It's not rocket science. It's just sharing out of your heart from God's heart with your family. And let them share. Everybody just take part in that. But weekly gathering your family together. Another thing we're doing on the internet is we're providing a weekly podcast. Now, not just the message. Those will always be online. But every week you're going to have the opportunity to go online and download a podcast where it's going to be an interview with myself or one of our pastors, 15 or 20 minutes, just of extra information out of the book of Proverbs that you could even use as some of the format for your discussion as you study together as a family. The third part of the journey is it's a community journey, meaning that we're doing this together as a church family. So we're asking you to weekly commit over the next 4 months to being involved in our weekend services where we're going to unpack the book of Proverbs. And then also be connected in connection groups and small groups where we're going to be digging deeper into this thing called Proverbs. Connection group's going to be kicking off in a couple of weeks. It's an opportunity for you to get around a table with other believers, and guess what? You share with them what God's been speaking into your life and you've been writing down. They're going to share with you what God's been speaking into their life, what they've been writing down. We're going to all talk about wisdom, and guess what's going to happen? We're going to sharpen each other. And it's my prayer that over the next 4 months, God would give us wisdom in every area of our life, regardless of the stage of life that you come from, so that we may be careful not to walk as unwise, but as wise, making the most of our days. Because the days are evil. So that we will understand what the will of the Lord is in every situation of our life.